Good morning. You know, Psalm 118, verse 24 says, I was just reflecting as I was singing that song. Matt, thanks. You know, I appreciate communion songs. We do a little bit more of a reflective songs during communion just to prepare your hearts, to prepare your soul, to confess, to ask God to speak into your life and to tell God what God is, what you need from God, which is forgiveness of sins and for some of you, salvation. And, you know, there's a heaviness sometimes on Sunday. Do you guys sense a heaviness today? I don't know. I sense a heaviness today. I want you to know Psalm 118, verse 24 says, "This is the day that the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it." Are you glad this morning? Are you glad this morning? Amen. And I look forward to communion here in a little bit, where it's a chance to just remember what Jesus did for us. We continue our series in the Gospel of John, What is the Truth? And part two in our series of John chapter 5, which is the perfect spokesman, which is Jesus. Jesus is the perfect spokesman for God. Why? Because he's God. And so he speaks of eternal life. He speaks of judgment. And if you want to know about those two things, that you can have eternal life and you can have judgment removed, well, go to the spokesman. And that's what we learned a couple weeks ago. It seems like forever ago. But we continue in John chapter 5. So if you have your bulletins, grab those for me real quick. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 5 as we read verses 30 through 47 and listen to Jesus continue to speak of his power on this earth and why we should listen to him. Verse 30. "I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not deemed true. There is another who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true. You sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Not that the testimony that I received from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But the testimony that I have is greater than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. And the Father who has sent me has also bore witness about me. His voice you have never heard. His form you have never seen. And you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent." Verse 39. "You search the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you might have life. I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God in you. And I have come to the Father's name, and I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Do not think I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. If you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" This is God's word. Let me pray. Father, thank you for this passage of scripture again, really showing to me the character, your character, God, and how patient you are with us. And so, Father, I pray that the word that I speak and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, and that the Spirit of God would speak a better message than what's going to be delivered, so that people can be changed by the gospel. I pray these things in Jesus' name. So John chapter 5, before I get started, have you ever had to get a second opinion for something? Maybe a third opinion or a fourth opinion? Oftentimes when it's dealing with medical advice, you get a second opinion or you get a third opinion. Most recently in our house, we had to get some second opinions and third opinions in regards to a medical thing that that my daughter was going through. And during that time, we would talk to a doctor, and the doctor would tell us, here's what you need to do. And of course, you listen to that doctor and hoping that it'll just go away. And so then you get another opinion. And then when that doctor says, well, you need to take care of this, well, then things get serious, don't they? When you start getting multiple opinions to verify the thing that you know you need to do or the thing you know you need to believe. Doesn't always have to be medical, but typically medical is something we can all relate to, getting second opinions and third opinions. But it can be just biblical advice. When you're searching with someone, when you're talking with someone, you say, you know, I'm not really certain about this. I need to get a second opinion. Or I need to get a third opinion about this. Is my life really reflecting this? Is what this person's saying about me true? And you get second and third opinions. This morning, in the Gospel of John, verses 30 through 47, I believe that Jesus is doing exactly that for us. He's doing this for the Jews of the day. He is telling them, I understand. Look at verses 30 and 31. I understand you need a second opinion. I am the perfect spokesman for God, but I understand. He knows us. He knows we like second opinions. We like third opinions. We like fourth opinions. We like fifth opinions. But the question you have to ask yourself is, once you get all those opinions, what do you do with that information? And that's what Jesus is telling the Jews. In verses 30 through 31, he says this, I can do nothing of my own, as I hear and judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. What Jesus is saying is, I am a perfect spokesman for God. I am here not to promote myself, not to promote my works, but promote God's plan. So listen to me. I'm not here to for you guys to just look at me and thank God for me. I'm here to tell you about God and God's plan for you. So listen up. Verse 31, it says, if I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is deemed untrue. So what is Jesus saying here before we get into these opinions? See, in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 6, it was Jewish law. It was God's law in a sense that what the evidence of two witnesses or three witnesses, the one who is to die shall be put to death. So the Jews knew that God had more, you'd have more than one witness to a testimony. And so what Jesus was saying to these Jews is, I get it. I understand you want more than one opinion. You want more than just me telling you I'm God. You want more than one witness. And I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you more than two. I'm going to give you like six. Now, to those of us who know Christ, you know, this text is really for those who don't know Christ and need to know Christ. And so God is going to present many witnesses to the fact that Jesus is God. But to those of you who know Christ, as you look at this text, I ask myself the same thing, and hopefully you're asking this. What does this have to do with me? You know, as I look at these witnesses, I already believe that Jesus saved me. I already believe that he died on the cross for my sins and the wrath of God is removed. What does this have to do with me? And I want you to look at this text as we go through these witnesses and understand we are looking at the character of God. The steadfast, patient love of God. It is enough for Jesus to tell us that he is God. Do you know that? It is enough that the maker of all things, the creator of us, it is enough that Jesus alone says that he is God and that we should believe. And if we don't believe, the excuse is on us. But you understand the character of God? He is going to outline several witnesses to his deity in this text of scripture so that the Jews have no excuse. So that we as Gentiles have no excuse. So as you look at this text, I want you to focus on the character of God. He is patient with us. Whatever you're going through, he is patient with you. And he wants you to listen to those opinions. He wants you to listen to the people who are speaking into your life. Because God wants to do a work in your life. So let's take a look at these passages of scripture. The first. You want a second opinion? Jesus says in verse 32 and 35, he says, there is another who bears witness of me, and I know the testimony that bears witness to me is true. You sent to John, and he is borne witness to the truth. And then he goes on and explains how John the Baptist was a testimony, a witness, an opinion, a second opinion to God's deity. So the first point, you want a second opinion on Jesus' deity? How about a personal testimony? God sent John the Baptist. God sent John the Baptist to prepare the way, to make the path straight, so that you knew the Messiah was coming. A personal testimony. And the Jews knew this. So if you look at John chapter 1, you look at verse 19, 29, and 36, look at this. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and he said this. This is what John the Baptist said. A personal testimony. He said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And he looked at Jesus and he walked and said, behold, the Lamb of God. The Jews and some of the Gentiles, the people that were following Jesus, saw a personal testimony. Jesus had witnesses. See, they believed what John was saying, but then when John pointed out, here he is, the Lamb of God, they wanted nothing to do with him. They wanted nothing to do with his personal testimony when he pointed out who Jesus was. So what does this say for us? Did God not send you a personal testimony? Did God not send you a witness, an opinion to tell you about Christ? Throughout all of scriptures, you will see that God sends people to bear witness about who Jesus is. In my life, it was my wife. It was a guy named Chuck. And they began to share scriptures with me and point to a personal testimony of them accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Guys, I've never seen Jesus. And if I asked you if you'd raise your hand if you've seen Jesus, I'm not going to do that because there may be somebody that might have said they've seen Jesus. I don't want to point that out. But the point is, somebody gave you a personal testimony. Somebody shared with you about Jesus Christ. Just like in Acts chapter 10 with Cornelius. Cornelius was a God-fearing man. God listened to his prayers. But he didn't know Jesus. And so what did God do? He sent Peter. He sent a personal testimony of Jesus Christ, and Cornelius and his family were saved. See, God knows you need a second opinion. And he starts with a personal testimony. Who in your life spoke to you about Christ? Did you listen to him? Are you listening to him? You know, a couple weeks ago, we had several testimonies up here. Did they speak to your lives? Did their personal testimony speak into your life? That's what a personal testimony does. So the question is, are you a personal testimony to someone? My hope is that you are. So Jesus gives a second opinion. He says, you want a second opinion? I'll give you a personal testimony. Number two, you want a third opinion? This is going to be kind of awkward with the numbers, but you want another opinion? How about personal works? Look at verse 36. Verse 36, it says, but the testimony that I have is greater than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. So what is he saying here? Jesus is saying, I get it. I'm going to send a personal testimony to you in the name of John the Baptist. But to all of us, he's going to send people into your lives. And he understands, God understood that some of them are just not going to believe a personal testimony. So he says, you want another opinion? How about my own works? See, John the Baptist could not raise people from the dead. John the Baptist cannot change a person's heart. Jesus said, you want another opinion? Start looking at the things I'm doing in people's lives. How about the woman at the well that we learned about in John 4? Caught in adultery, sleeping with about 6 different guys. Jesus personally went to her to save her from her sins. How about the officer that their son was dying? God sent or healed the son without even being there so that the officer might believe. What other works are Jesus doing? What works are Jesus doing today? You know, I look at Jamie Wyden. I look at Rebecca. I look at Ron and Brenda. I look at, well, they're not here. You want to see the works of Jesus? How about what God's done in their lives most recently? Jesus said, you want a second opinion? Look at the personal testimonies. You want a third opinion? Look at the lives changed by what I'm doing in people's lives. My works are greater than that of John. John just professed about me. I change people's lives. Has he changed yours? Are you a demonstration of the work of Jesus Christ in your life? Jesus wants to use you because his works are greater than any man can perform. The next one, you want a fourth opinion. How about a personal voice? Look at verse 37 and 38. It says this. It says, and the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard. His form you have never seen. And you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he sent. You want another opinion? We got a second opinion, personal testimony. We got a third opinion, personal works. You got a fourth opinion, the personal voice of the Father. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, it says this. And behold, a voice from heaven said this, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. They heard the voice of God. The Jews would have known what the voice and what that means of the Father speaking from heaven. In Deuteronomy 4, verse 12, it says this. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. The Father's voice proclaimed that Jesus was the Son of God and is the Son of God. Do you hear the voice of God? Do you hear what God is trying to tell you? Because he is speaking to you through this. Oftentimes we like to pray and pray. You need to be a people of prayer. But you want a response, you need to be in the Word. Unless you are actually hearing the voice of God, he wants to speak to you in this book. That is how he reveals himself to you and the character of God. Do you hear the voice of God? You know, Zach and Dawn were talking about the busyness of life and how that takes away from our struggles of devotions with our family and things like that. And he's exactly right. We have so many distractions that we cannot hear the whisper of God and the testimony of the Father's work in our lives. Are you hearing the voice of God? You will hear those things through prophecies. And Habakkuk 1:5 says this, one of my favorite verses. It says, for I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if I told you. The voice of God is working in people's lives. And you will see it, maybe you won't see it, but he is doing a work behind the scenes so that he might be a testimony or a witness or another opinion in regards to Jesus being God. So the next one, the last one. You want another opinion. Again, can you see the character of God being displayed here? I mean, it is enough to have a personal witness. It is enough for God just to do his works in people's lives. It's enough. to have the voice of God. But the character God is shining through, that He is patient with us. And He wants us to believe so that we have no excuse. And the fifth opinion, He gave us a personal letter. Verses 39 and 40 say this: "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you might have life." And drop all the way down to verse 45 and 46. "Do you think that I will accuse you to the Father? There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" You want another opinion of the deity of Christ? Look at the words of God and the testimony of the whole Scriptures. From Genesis all the way to Revelation, God has given us His Word so that you might know Jesus Christ. Jesus gives us an example of this in Luke 24. When He went to the strangers on the road to Emmaus, do you remember the story? Follow along with me as He spoke to the strangers on the road to Emmaus. He said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into His glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He interpreted to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. And they said to each other, did our hearts not burn within us while He talked to us on the road, while He opened to us the Scriptures?" You want another opinion as a deity of Jesus Christ? You want another opinion on who Jesus is? He gave us a book. The answers to all prophecy. Over 300 prophecies of who Jesus was and is. He took them all the way through the Scriptures, pointing them to Himself. They had no excuse. We have no excuse. God has given us sufficient amount of witnesses. He has given us sufficient amount of opinions. He's given us second opinions and third opinions and fourth opinions. And you can consider this a fifth, sixth, and seventh with Moses, the prophets, and the Scriptures. He has given us enough information to believe. So the question is, when you get a second opinion, when you get a third opinion, when you get a fourth opinion, do you listen to them? You know, as someone would be here, if someone were here, and I gotta imagine there is, and you have not trusted Christ as your Savior, you need to understand this Scripture points to the abundant patience of God in your life and the grace of God. We just sang of it. Amazing grace. You know what that grace is? The fact that you're not getting what you deserve. He has given us second opinions and third opinions and fourth opinions and fifth opinions so that you will have no excuse. No excuse to stand before God at the day of judgment and say, "No one ever told me about you." Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14 really speak to those people. And if you're here, listen to these verses. "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few." Do you understand? The reason you're not believing isn't because God hasn't given you enough witnesses. You're not believing because of your pride. You're not believing because you want an easy way to God. You want your way to God. And Jesus is saying, "I'm sending you a personal testimony. I'm sending you the works of God displayed in people's lives. I'm sending you the voice of God in the sense of the Scriptures so that you can stand before God and say, I believe that Jesus died for my sins." You don't need any more witnesses. You know, if we didn't listen to the doctors in regards to our daughter's situation, if we listened to one opinion, we listened to another opinion, we listened to another opinion, and all the time, I just want a different answer. I just want an answer that fits my joy. I don't want struggles. I want it just to go away. Sometimes you have to just cut it out. Sometimes you just have to remove the thing that God is telling you you have to remove. And you are getting your second opinions and your third opinions and your fourth opinions. And when it comes down to it, Christ follower, you just don't want to listen. You have godly people speaking into your life. You have God's word speaking into your life. And you are walking in sin. You are following your own path. And God is saying, I have mercy. I have patience. But I also have Hebrews chapter 12, which is the discipline of the Lord. And have mercy on you. Have mercy on you, Christ follower. If God has shown you through many, many witnesses of you still living in a pattern of sin, that you continually forsake God's witnesses. You know, it's good that we have communion today. Because if you're a Christ follower and you are seeing the character of God displayed in these verses and how patient God is, this should be a great time for you to reflect on what Jesus has done and confess your sins. Get right with God. Do business with God. Tell Him the things by which you need to confess and get right. And those of you who don't know Christ, if you are here and you have never trusted Him as your Savior, you have no excuses. Just your pride. So as we go to communion, when you hold that bread, and just so you know, if you've never been to High Point during communion service, we'll play a couple songs after I'm done praying. And in that time, during those two songs, you're going to go back, and the tables will be in the back in the back table or the back of the room. And during that time, you go back and you get the bread and you get the juice. And when you hold that bread, it is a symbol of Jesus' perfect life. And when you look at that bread, you put your life in comparison to Jesus and you fall short every time. And that is your time to confess to God. Confess your need for Him. Confess and ask for forgiveness of sins, and He is faithful to forgive. You hold that bread and remember what Jesus did for you. And then as you get that juice, you hold that juice and you rejoice, because without the blood, there is no remission of sins, Hebrews says. See, it's not enough that Jesus died and lived a perfect life. He had to die on the cross. Or let me say that differently. It's not enough that He lived a perfect life. It's that He had to die for us. And so when you hold that juice, you should be remembering and rejoicing that His blood was spilt for you and for me. And you rejoice. And you thank Him. You thank Him for what He did, because you can't do it. You can't save yourself. So when you hold that bread and you hold that communion, it's a chance to reflect on what Jesus has done in your life. And so those of you who don't know Christ as your Savior, don't take communion. I'm not trying to separate you from communion. I'd love for you to take communion, because it means you trust Jesus as your Savior. Accept Him today and take communion with joy. But if you don't know Him, avoid it, because the 1 Corinthians 11 says you are asking for judgment on your life to take communion on an unworthy manner. Do not take communion. Do not make a mockery of communion because you don't know the Savior. But why wouldn't you today? Why not accept Him today and rejoice in the communion that God has given us in the fellowship of the Savior? We have no excuses. He's given us plenty of witnesses. Plenty of witnesses, personal testimonies, His personal works. God's own voice and the scriptures of God. And we rejoice in His patient love for us. Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you for this time to reflect on, Lord, your sovereignty and your steadfast love for us. And so, Father, we celebrate communion together. Lord, I pray that you would do business with the people today, that I could do business with you and confess. And I'm grateful, Lord. I am grateful for your saving work on the cross for us. And so, Father, I pray that those of the people that are out here that don't know you, that today would be their day of salvation. And to those that do, that they cut out the sin. They cut out the thing that is distracting them from you getting much glory out of their lives. Lord, thank you for your patience. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.